Committee, have a seat, everybody.
Broadening the base of the...
Well, you give it a reverse.
Committee, while I'm thinking of it, I've asked for tomorrow, I've asked Paul to schedule a meeting only for purpose of bill introduction, so we'll have about a 30-second meeting. If we can have a quorum at 9:30 tomorrow morning, if we have a quorum for possible bill introduction, that's all the business we will have, but if we can get that in and done quickly, I would appreciate that. Well, let's open a work session on House Bill 2652. And Elizabeth, we have a couple of new amendments and a couple of complicated handouts from you this morning. If you could please walk us through what we have.
Chairman Shetterly and committee members, for the record, I'm Elizabeth Martin-Mahar with the Legislative Revenue Office. Just so you know what you have from me, I did summarize, because we've been going through quite a few amendments with this bill, House Bill 2652. So you do have a summary of all the different amendments, and I'm just going to focus right now on the dash 10, and then I'll go into the dash 11 and the difference between those. But just for your own reference, you do have a summary here of all where your dash 10 came from and your dash 11. So basically, with the House Bill 2652 is making changes to the Pollution Control Tax Credit and the Business Energy Tax Credit, and you've got a section-by-section analysis here of the Dash 10. And basically, to begin with, it's bringing in the issue like in Section 2, it's rephrasing the pollution control requirements to reduce, prevent, control, or reduce air, water, or noise pollution, or solid or hazardous waste. And it specifies that animal feeding operations can be considered a pollution control facility. Now, this was something that that was brought in one of your first amendments. It's not adding anything new in existing law. Yeah. It's just clarifying existing law that adding animal feeding operations do constitute as pollution control facility. Another just clarification change is specifying that a non-point control facility can be a land management system approved by USDA, the Natural Resource Conservation Service. So, again, those don't have revenue impacts. It's deleting just the word sole in various locations, and it's referring to basically a facility's primary purpose now for a pollution control facility, not just a sole purpose, a primary purpose. Then in Section 2A, it clarifies that the alternative fuel-producing facility can be a pollution control facility provided that the facility is used to produce biodiesel, bio-oil, or other fuel derived from food processing or rendering waste. This was Representative Krupp's amendment that he testified to earlier in this session.
So this goes back to his overview, the PowerPoint presentation we had on the bio alternative fuel production facilities.
Chair Shetterly, that's correct. And so basically, again, these facilities already qualify for the pollution control credits under existing law. This is just clarifying that it's adding the language what exactly they're going to have to do in order to qualify for this credit. It also requires that these alternative fuel produced at the facility will produce less air pollution than conventional fossil fuels, or that the facility will reduce solid or hazardous waste or used oil. So this is basically the final version that was agreed upon and with DEQ and Representative Krupp. So then in Section 2B, it clearly states that this applies to applications for certification of pollution control facilities filed on or after January 1st, 2006. So these are all beginning in tax year 2006. Then the other two sections are just really some reference changes. Section 4, it has replacing the word may to shall, referring to a taxpayer's application fee. If the application is rejected, it shall be returned as a refund to the taxpayer. Basically, it requires the department to use these excess fees to reduce any future fee revenues. Now, it's deleting the sunset that's under existing law of an application filing deadline for the credit of December 31st, 2008.
Elizabeth, before you go on, Kathy, do we have a sign-up as extensive as these are? Can we get a sign-up for folks who want to be heard on these? Okay, thanks. Go ahead.
And then the other Section 5 is just really, again, some just technical changes. Section 6 deletes the pollution control tax credit sunset date of December 31st, 2007, and for the completion then of the construction or installation of the pollution control facility. So under current law, there's really two sunsets. One is this December 31st, 2007 for the completion of the construction, and then they have to file by December 31st, 2008. It's deleting both of those under existing law. It retains then the lower tier pollution control credit beyond December 31st, 2005, and I'll talk with that about what it gets changed to. Then in Section 7, it's establishing a new sunset date of January 1st, 2014, in which the pollution control facility must have started construction or installation. Section 8 is just does some renumbering, but then it also is, this is the section that is increasing the lower tier 15% pollution control tax credit to 35% for construction beginning after December 31st, 2005. Now, in the original version and all the other version we saw prior to today, it was beginning January or December, it was beginning in tax year 2003. This is going to begin now tax year 2006 as far as the revenue impact from the expansion of these credits. Again, the credit is going up 20% in the lower tier, and then the increase of the upper tier is going up 15% from 35% to 50%. But again, it's not beginning until tax year 2006. Another component of Section 8, it clarifies that an environmental management system used at a facility can be a criteria for qualifying for the pollution control credit in the future. So it basically incorporates the additional reference of 468.173A, subsection I, A, and B. So it's just clarifying that this would still be a requirement out in the future for the environmental management system as a criteria for the credit. And then Section 9 is requiring the Department of Environmental Quality inform an applicant of the reasons why it was not approved for a pollution control credit. Section 10 is just some technical changes. Section 11 is just, again, some adjustments. It deletes the current law sunset on the pollution control credit. Section 12 is pretty much a technical change, so is Section 13 and 14. Then On Section 15, we'll begin to discuss then from Section 15 on, it's talking about the business energy tax credit changes. So now here we are adding renewable energy equipment manufacturing facility to the list of energy facilities. It defines a renewable energy equipment manufacturing facility and then does some adjustment in the numbering. Then Section 16 adds this reduction in pollution to the business energy tax credit purpose statement. Section 17 adds the plans to acquire, construct, or install a renewable energy equipment manufacturing facility to the purpose an applicant can address for the business energy tax credit. Section 18 specifies a separate criteria now for energy facilities that utilize a renewable energy resource or a renewable energy equipment manufacturing facility to have the tax credit equal to 10% of the certified cost each year for 5 years. So basically now these energy facilities, these renewable energy facilities, will have a 50% tax credit, while under current law it's 35%. So basically this is allowing them to take 10% each year for 5 years. Then it adds a plan to acquire, construct, or install a renewable energy equipment manufacturing facility to the list of criteria required for the business energy tax credit. 19 just changes the business energy tax credit, and it's effective for tax years 2006 and forward. So, again, there's no revenue impact in 2003-05 biennium for this change. It's just beginning in tax year 2006. Now, Section 20 is an important section. It really does a lot of different things, and that's part of the confusion with the section. But basically with the Dash 10 amendments, what this is doing is it specifies that the tax credit percentage is 50% of the total certified cost for the renewable energy manufacturing facilities. But in addition, it also has it retains the requirement that an energy facility cannot qualify for both the federal and state energy tax credits, and this is what is something that needed to get changed in the Dash 11 amendment. So this is what got clarified in the Dash 11, is that the Dash 10s do not take into consideration this being able to allow then the federal and state tax credits be taken at the same time. The Dash 10 basically retains existing law, where existing law is requiring the energy facility to not qualify for both the federal and the state energy tax credit. It also then retains current law treatment of the federal grant. So basically, if you qualified for a federal grant and you took it on that energy facility, then you would have to reduce then your amount of your certified costs by the amount of that federal grant. So that's current laws. You have to, you know, reduce that certified cost by the amount of the federal grant. That was added back in then with the Dash 10. But what didn't get added back in was this double dipping then for these renewable energy facilities. So you could, you know, technically take the renewable energy facilities credits for the business credit, and then you could take the pollution control credit. That's what the language originally had done. So this was trying to allow them not to be able to have that, but we didn't quite get there yet with the Dash 10 and Dash 11 amendments.
But you've got some conceptual...
But we have conceptual amendments from Legislative Council on how we can do that. So basically that Section 20 is our important section that we need further amendments to. The Section 21 changes the business energy tax credit to begin for these changes to begin for tax year 2006. Section 22 is dealing with the residential energy tax credit. It allows a solar electric system to qualify for that residential energy tax credit. And then it specifies that the new requirements for the residential homeowners to claim then this credit for the solar electric system, and it basically just specifies it puts a cap on the amount of credit to be each year of $1,500, but what it does over existing law, which just allows $1,500 on each system, this allows a three-year carry forward on that credit now and caps the total amount of the tax to $6,000 per system for all tax years. So basically this is making the residential energy tax credit more attractive for larger systems. Section 23 then is beginning for tax year 2006, and Section 24 then just defines solar electric system for the alternative energy tax credit. So basically with Section the Dash 11 amendments, it's the same as the Dash 10 amendments, with one exception being that if you look in Section 20, which is on page 33 of the Dash 11, basically it's actually page 32, but it's deleting some language that's already in existing law that's also in the Dash 10, and this basically is saying that with a federal tax credit, you can get that federal tax credit for an energy facility, and then you don't have to have it reduced from your total certified cost. That's what the Dash 11 is going to do. So it will make this program more attractive because a facility will be able to qualify for the federal tax credit and not have to have the state tax credit reduced by that amount of that federal tax credit. And again, then the conceptual amendment that you would need in order to delete the double dipping for the two credits, the pollution control state credit and the business energy facilities state credit, is on page 33, and the delete the A reference here because it would just be
page 33, line one.
On the A reference needs to be deleted.
The bold versus 3A. Okay.
And then you would delete lines 5 through 9. On page 33,
and that's
it.
Conceptual amendment would address the double dipping?
Double dipping of the two state credits. Okay. And just so everyone's clear, too, DEQ has identified that they, you know, also in their statutes, they would have a conflict with this existing language that's in page 33, because we haven't addressed one of their statutes, which basically says the same thing, that if you are only allowed a credit on the amount of cash that you paid for the cost of the pollution control credit or pollution control facility. So if you got a tax credit, that amount of that facility would be reduced by the amount of credit that you've got here in Oregon on the business energy tax credit. So basically, if your policy was to have this double dipping on the for the two credits, you would also need to address DEQ's statute and deal with that, because there would be some conflict in what was existing law with just this amendment.
Well, are there other vehicles available out there for conflict amendments?
Oh, sure. You could even do it on the Senate side if you wanted to. I mean, it's not like it can't be addressed.
Okay.
Yeah, but I just want to point it out that it is something that DEQ has brought to our attention, that they have in a law their own statutes on the same issue.
So you've walked us through the Dash 10s, but in fact, because that's what your worksheet
right,
was for, but the Dash 11s are in fact the amendments that incorporate all of program changes.
It, allowing the federal tax credit in Oregon for these same facilities.
Okay.
So basically, as far as the revenue impact, moving from the dash 10 to the dash 11 is not a real big change. As you can see there, basically the dash 11 amendment has a revenue reduction. Again, nothing in the 03-05 biennium because we've moved all of those credits to starting in tax year 2006. So it would be $2.36 million in the 05-07 biennium loss in revenue, in the 07-09 biennium, $15.7 million, but that's because of the sunset that you're deleting there and extending out to 2014 for the pollution control credit. That's the larger portion of the 07-09 biennium impact. And in for just the 2652, this was just $1.7 million versus $12.7 million in the 07-09 biennium.
Again, when I looked at that, the way these numbers are set, it looked to me like $57.4 million and $2,029 million, but those are
thousands.
Those are thousands. Okay. Yeah. That's 57,000 under the dash 11, 57,000.4 impact in 0507, and 2,029,000 for the business energy tax credit.
And Chair Shetterly, I will note that these do incorporate a small amount for the double dipping that would occur under current under these amendments, without the conceptual amendments. We adopt some conceptual amendments. I will adjust these downwards.
Those numbers will be
slightly lower.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Committee questions. Thank you, Elizabeth, for that overview. All right. Representative Crump.
Is there going to be a quiz now, Mr. Crump?
Yeah.
See.
Yeah, close your books. Representative Crump, come on forward. I assume you're here because you want to speak to us.
Just briefly, Mr. Chairman. I know you find that hard to believe. But for the record, I'm State Representative Jeff Crump, House District 17. I'm very pleased with the Dash 11 amendments. It incorporates many of the things that obviously we've been talking about, ruminating about in this building. As a whole, one of the things that you are addressing that Elizabeth has been articulating is the double dipping issue. And that actually is something that we identified in our biofuels task force in this last interim that we thought would be important to address at some point in the future. And I'm glad that we're making that effort now. I'm very pleased that the biofuels, bio-oils piece is in the Dash 11 amendment. I think that's appropriate that we clarify that it is appropriate, and the pollution control tax credit does apply to that. With that, Mr. Chair, I recommend a hearty aye vote by all the members of the committee and the chair.
All right, thank you. Any questions for Representative Krupp? All right, I have John Miller signed up. Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is John Miller. I'm the executive director of the Oregon Solar Energies Association, and I kind of feel like I'm wading into a minefield here with all of these amendments. But I just wanted to clarify the solar tax credit amendment for you, if there were any questions on there. Basically, it applies to the solar. It's Section 23, or I guess it's in dash 7.
Elizabeth, can you help us orient us to the Dash 11s?
Yeah.
And Section 23 of the main amendments. At any rate, it addresses the solar electric tax credits. And it basically instantiates a carry-forward measure. It's not an increase in the current tax credits. Currently, as you can see on that table that I have on the handout, you can get the same tax credit today with the current system. However, the current tax credit system limits the amount of limits the size of the system that you can install. It places an artificial ceiling on the solar electric system.
Committee, this is Section 22 in the Dash 11s.
Right.
Okay. Go ahead.
So this new change allows someone to install a properly sized system from the beginning and get the same tax credit that they ordinarily would have without going through a bunch of hoops to get it. That's essentially what it does. It places a cap on the current system, but the solar industry likes this because it encourages people to install properly sized systems.
Questions for Mr. Miller?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Barnhart.
Would you expand on your last comment just a little bit? What's a properly sized system, and how does that relate to the amount of the tax credit?
Well, I can tell you what a properly sized system is not, more than I can what a properly sized system is, because it changes for everyone's use. It's very dependent on your situation. So what is not a properly sized system for most people is what is currently allowed, and that's 500 watts. That's extremely small, but it's very small, not extremely, but it's very small for what we currently use. It's a more average size system that would offset more of your electricity use would be three times that amount at least. Systems that are going in today are typically at least twice that 500, so 1,000-watt systems. And more, they're as the costs come down, they're increasing to 1,500 and 2,000 watts. So there is no one-size-fits-all, but 500 is very small.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Miller. Matt Blevin.
Chair Shetterly, members of the committee, for the record, Matt Blevins, Legislative Affairs Director with the Oregon Environmental Council. I just wanted to comment briefly on these new amendments to 2652. OEC continues to remain opposed to this bill and encourage the committee to not approve this legislation, although we think that it's great that the committee is considering incentives for renewable energy facilities here in the state and that type of work, which we always would encourage. We think that the trade-off and what the other elements that are included in this bill don't make sense. This seems to be a moving backwards in terms of the type of work that this committee in the past session has done to try to use our resources in the state wisely to encourage both pollution control and economic development. We feel like the bill currently with these latest amendments doesn't seem to make sense. We seem to be heading back to a place where we're going to be giving out tons of money, from a state that doesn't seem to have a lot of money for things that aren't necessarily the type of pollution control that we really need to target here. We would encourage the committee to look at amendments that would look at more of a front-end pollution control effort as opposed to a back-end pollution control effort, and to have legislation that would address this pollution control in a more focused manner. Again, I've talked to a number of the committee members about the current list of tax credits that have been, or things that have been claimed under this tax credit in the last 2 years. When half the list is wood chippers and recycling bins and other things like that that add up as a lot of money, it seems like we need to be thinking more effectively about how we can both control pollution and encourage economic development. And the current amendments for this bill don't seem to do that in our view. We would encourage the committee to take a long, hard look at this and think about what are the more effective ways that we can achieve these kind of goals other than this current bill, because this doesn't do it. And with that, I'll be happy to take questions.
All right. Any questions for Matt Blevins? All right. Thank you very much. Anybody else? While we're here. Really? Do you want to talk about the energy piece? Here I am. I'm calling people out of the audience. Come talk. Hugh.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Graney, Director of the Oregon Office of Energy. Speak very briefly to the amendments. I think I did.
Now I'm watching everyone just walk to the door.
I think I did. Talk last time about them, and I thought Elizabeth gave an excellent summary of them. And I'm just addressing the energy tax credit provisions of the amendments, but we support both the 10s and the 11s. The 11s, I think, are superior because the ability to take both the federal and the state energy tax credit is important because the state energy tax credit comes in at the front end, the capital costs of the facility, the renewable resource, and the federal production tax credit kicks in when the resource starts producing energy, and that's very important to the economics of the system. And having to discount one or the other really does impact the two, so it's not additive at the same time. So that's very important. Also, we do support the conceptual amendment that would make you choose one state tax credit or the other.
Any questions for Mr. Rainey? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, come on forward.
Hi.
Let me guess.
Representative Shatterly, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Patrick Green with the Oregon AFL-CIO and also with the Oregon Revenue Coalition. You've heard our spiel before, so I won't drag you through it completely, but just to say that basically, you know, we have concerns about new tax credits at this time. We've explained that before. If this is so compelling that we should adopt it, there should be an offset, and we would hope the committee would talk about an offset. We're also concerned just in general with those sorts of tax credits, and I haven't had a chance to read through the amendments, but we are also concerned with those sorts of tax credits that ask people to basically do what they're already doing. So I have not had a chance to read through the amendments, but that would be a concern of ours as well, and I'm happy to answer any other questions.
Mm-hmm. Any questions for Mr. Green? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anybody else? John Ledger.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm John Ledger, Associated Oregon Industries. I just have a couple of quick comments. First of all, we're very pleased to see the executive branch, the Office of Energy, supporting this bill. This is one of the last things we have to attract and keep business. We used to have low power rates, and that kind of kept industry going here and attracted industry. And I think we relied on that and kind of took it for granted. And that's gone now. And I think it's probably gone forever. And we're in competition with other states, especially for manufacturing jobs, which are the good, high-paying jobs. And this is one of the few tools we really have left. And it's a pretty good tool. This is very nuts and bolts program. You don't get the credit until you do something, and you have to make money. You have to be successful. And when you do look at the list of things you get a credit for, they are nuts and bolts things, on-the-ground pollution control. And when you look at it, it may look odd at first, but things like paving a log yard. Well, a log yard is where all the logs sit and the bark sits and a lot of the wood waste sits, and it sits in the dirt, and when it rains, it runs off into the river, perhaps. So if you can pave it, you can control the runoff and reduce the organics and sediment going into the river. It is a nuts and bolts pollution control thing, a chipper. If you're burning wood waste, you're producing pollution. If you can get a chipper and make a product, you're reducing pollution, and your company has a better chance of making money, which is what we want. So when you go down the list, they are nuts and bolts items. And I can't speak to every one of them, but I can tell you every one of them got scrutinized by the DEQ like you cannot believe. It is not easy to get one of these things. You have to go out and hire an engineering company to do an engineering analysis. You have to have a CPA or whatever do an analysis. Then it goes to DEQ, and then you have to pay them to have it all done all over again. So it's not easy to get one. We would like something where companies can look at coming to Oregon and say, this is out there for us in the future if we locate here or if we stay here. It may not be here right now, you know, the 50%, but if we stay here and do something to modify in the future, this is one of the things Oregon can offer us. It was started by Tom McCall, and I can't think of a better, more Oregon approach for a tax credit to attract businesses than linking it to pollution control. That's all, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Questions? Yeah, Representative Hess.
As we all know now, PG&E Enron received about $1.5 million of tax credit in this last biennium. What is the incentive or strategy of using this incentive for a utility, particularly a monopoly, particularly Enron?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hatz, I think a couple of things happened there once. A couple of things happened. One is that control costs for a utility are astronomical. I mean, a $10-20 million control cost would not be unusual. I think what happened there is an anomaly, and I don't think it was good. I don't know if it's worth dunking the whole program over. I think there are lots of things associated with Enron and what went on there that are worth looking at and, frankly, pretty despicable. I don't think that was in any way representative of Oregon businesses that use this at all.
Mr. Sheriff,
yes.
But if we continue this, there's no reason for them not to also take advantage of this tax credit in the future. And I'm not saying that they're abusing this credit or not. I'm just wondering about the strategy of subsidizing a utility that is a monopoly and can't expand. They're not adding new jobs, and in fact, we've seen them lay off people. I don't get what taxpayers are buying with that strategy when it applies to utilities.
Well, Representative Shetterly, Representative Hass, ideally what you would want to do is that is reflected in the rate structure because it's part of their costs, whether you get a tax credit or not. But frankly, I don't know enough about utility pricing to address that. But I mean, that it would seem to me that would be the way it should work. If it doesn't, or if it hasn't, I think that's something worth looking at. I mean, nobody was happy with what happened there.
Anything else? Okay, thank you, John.
Thank you.
Anybody else wish to testify? Oh, come on forward. You guys can come together.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Good.
Neither of you have said your good morning.
Would either of you like some coffee?
No cream.
That's why I did the flowers for both of my daughter's weddings. So
you get the commission off of any of your weddings here. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Pat Egan. I'm Governor Kulongoski's legislative policy advisor. Just a point of clarification for this morning's testimony. Mr. Ledger said the executive branch is supporting the Dash 11 amendments. What we are supportive of are the Dash 7 amendment elements that have been incorporated into the Dash 11s. As I've indicated to some of the members of the committee, we have still some concerns with the expansion and the level of the pollution control tax credit. And I'm assuming that these might be changed on the Senate side. I'm not sure. But the governor still has some concerns and appreciate the work of the committee on delaying the implementation, the short-term impact, at least the financial impact on the 0305 biennium, which I've expressed to some of you as well. That's certainly taken care of in here, noting that the sunset on this particular tax credit has been extended 5 times. This would be the 6th time. I think we still have some level of reservation about a further extension, or at least those percentages. Also noted to some of the members of the committee that our original, the Dash 7s, had the establishment of the business energy tax credit, which I'd love to talk with you about the industry cluster and some of the reasons why we had those drafted. But it had the level at 50%, which certainly would be a wonderful thing for some of those companies. We also think, however, that it might be a little bit high in terms of what might be necessary as an incentive. The current business energy tax credit is 35%. We've talked about something south of, or something slightly more than that, but not necessarily 50%. Apologize, but I just wanted to clarify that what we are supportive of are the Dash 7 elements, which are the renewable energy in Section 15, basically on in the bill. And we still have some concerns, as I noted to the committee in a letter in April, about 2652 in its original form.
Thank you. Thank you. Questions for Mr. Egan? Yes, Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Egan, does that mean that if the final bill that came out of here simply embodied the Dash 7s, the governor would be happy with that?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
If the final bill that came out of this committee were simply the Dash 7s, the governor would be happy with that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Barnhart, thank you for the question.
Yeah, I'm trying to make sure I understand his position.
Sure. The Dash 7s, obviously, we had them drafted. We should stand by them. I would note, however, that when we had them drafted, there was a fairly short period of time, and as I noted, I think 50% is probably there would be some companies that would be certainly interested in that, but it might be somewhat generous in terms of what would be necessary in terms of an incentive over and above the current 35% for business energy tax credit.
Well, just to be certain, so if I restated the question, and said you'd support the Dash 7s with a slightly smaller number in place of the 50% number, the governor would be happy with that bill.
All right. Mr. Chair, Representative Barnhart, I believe that's the case, yes.
Thank you.
Representative Berger.
I want to follow up on that. That was good questioning. If the 50% number came down, would you be happy with the Dash 11s?
Mr. Chair, Representative Berger, 50% relative to the business energy tax credit or the pollution control tax credit?
Pollution control.
Mr. Chair, Representative Berger, that is an excellent question.
Got him.
You have to blame Representative Barnhart. He put me up to it.
Mr. Chair, Representative Berger, and as we noted in a discussion last week, I think that would go some distance in terms of taking care of the concerns. Are we talking 40%? Are we talking 35%? Current level being, a phase out as well. I guess we would be open to talking with folks about that further.
Okay. Thank you. Dave Nelson.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Dave Nelson. I represent the Oregon Seed Council, which are the grass seed growers of the state and the Oregon dairy farmers of Oregon. And obviously, we're going to have to do a little work on that here. But, Mr. Chair, what I wanted to comment on, what compelled me to come up here, is simply to say that this has been an important element to the agricultural community, and both the grass seed growers and the dairy farmers are the most regulated, environmentally regulated agricultural enterprises in the state. I would like to comment that while the tax credit has been around for some number of years, the agricultural community has just begun to take advantage of that over the course of the last 10 or 15 years as environmental regulations have really come to rest on the agricultural community. And we're making a lot of progress, but in the case of the agricultural community, we're always on the small end of the tax credits. We don't take the $1 million tax credits. It's more under $200,000. That tax credit has been around at 50% for most of its existence, except for the past 2 years when it was dropped for whatever all of the political pressures that we were all involved in the 2001 negotiations on this particular bill. But it has been an important element in the grass seed industry's transition from a burning society to essentially a non-burning society, and from the dairy industry in capturing all of the waste that comes out of the dairy barn and keeping it from being a pollution problem in the waters of the state. So it is a very, very important element to a lot of small businesses, a lot of small farms in the state. So I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't just viewed as an Enron or PGE or somebody else.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Nelson? All right. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Okay, I think we have some committee wants to deliberate a little bit on these Dash 11s so we can get the conceptuals maybe cleaned up so we have those straightforward for us, and we're looking at. So with that, I think I'll close the work session on House Bill 2652.
Yes.
And committee, again, if you're a reminder, if you can be here promptly at 9:30, we'll have a very short meeting tomorrow. And with that, we are adjourned.